And in John chapter 11, talking to a bereaved household, the Lord Jesus, the wonderful Savior of men, he had these words to say to the relatives of the bereaved. And he had these great words to say in John 11, verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. John 11, 23. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Can I read that to you again? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That's what he asks. Do you believe this? Let me take one verse, another verse for a key verse for our hanging our thoughts on tonight from the book of James. Verse 13 of the fourth chapter of the book of James. Come now, you who say, today, tomorrow, we shall go to such a city and shall spend a year there and re-engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just like a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanisheth away. Instead, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is to you, boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him, it is sin. I am sure that many of you, like myself, have been stung by the recent events of the last 24 hours. I suppose this is what made me change my address for tonight and challenge our hearts concerning this matter. For once again, we have been confronted by the brevity of life. We've been revealed to us the shortness of our time on earth. And as we think of this comparatively young man and his wife and his sister-in-law taking off from an airport in Jersey, heading for that little island paradise there just off New England's shores and coast. And somewhere along the line and somewhere almost there, but lost. Almost there, but lost. Nearly at the point of destination, but never made it. I thought of the challenge of that, and I thought of the prospects and of all that he had in life, of this world's goods and of good looks and so many other things that he had in life. And yet, it's not officially confirmed, but it could all be over. My fishing friends, what guarantee will you be on the boat when it leaves this harbor in 2 weeks' time and moves out to the ground? My friends who do business on the island, what guarantee have you that tomorrow you will be able to reach out and do this and that which you have planned to do? And the question comes through clearly to us tonight, for what is your life? What is your life? Years ago, it was Mr. Nehru of India, that great premier of India, who had the pleasure, when he came to America, of having a request fulfilled. The request that he asked for was to meet Dr. Einstein. He wanted to meet this brilliant man. And when he met him, he said to him, "Mr. Einstein, the question I came to ask you is, have you found the meaning of life?" It is recorded that Einstein bowed his head and replied, "No, I have not found the meaning of the life." Is there a meaning to life? What are the answers to the questions that so many people ask? My friend, God has given us a handbook in life that we can pick up, and in this handbook we can begin to see what God has brought for us. The dictionary definition of life is a union between soul and body. This is true of humans, but not of plants. It's a state of life, but being alive, someone else has said, oh, it's true, but very ambiguous. That's not true life. Life is a property of a plant or an animal that involves growth, nutrition, and reproduction. The truth is that life is very difficult to define. In fact, we discover that life is a trust, a loan from God for a short time. It is Job who says in Job chapter 1 verse 21, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Life is an intangible gift from God. We can neither see it, feel it, or bargain with it. It is an unsubstantial, flimsy thing. It is here today, and it's gone tomorrow. My dear friends, there are three kinds of life that are mentioned in the scripture. We can think of physical life, and that is the life we have in the body when God breathed into the nostrils of man and he made him alive, the physical life. The spiritual life, this is the new life that God gives to the believer in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2 and 1 says this, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." This is the new life. This is the gift that God gives to the repentant sinner. There is then that great life that is called eternal life that has no ending. It goes beyond the grave. It reaches through the grave. It goes beyond time. It reaches into eternity. It ends up, my friends, in the palace of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we shall behold the King in his beauty. So we discover, my friend, we're conscious of this. You physical life tonight. Have you spiritual life? You say, "I come here on a Sunday night." That could justify my being a Christian. Is that true? The great founder of Methodism was a man whose name is well known by the name of John Wesley. It was John Wesley who was approached to travel across the ocean in that day and travel down to Savannah, and he landed in Savannah and there too gave the Indians God's message. He utterly failed. It was a great fiasco. Forced to return to England, he wrote. An ordained clergyman in the Anglican Church, an Episcopalian minister in the Church of England, he wrote these words. Listen. "I went to America to convert the Indians, but who shall convert me? But who shall convert me?" And the words of a minister of religion, a minister of the gospel, that he did not know, these were his words. And later on, he wrote about going to a little Bible study group in London, in Aldersgate. And John Wesley writes these words in his diary, and I quote, "In the evening I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street. There was one reading from Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans after a quarter before nine. while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warm. He had a degree in theology. He had a degree in theology, but had never experienced the dynamite of God changing his life. Suddenly, in this Bible study, about 8:45 at night, God touches the heart of this man, John Wesley. He said, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I did trust in Christ. Christ alone for salvation, and assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, saved me from the law of sin and death. What a tremendous confession from a minister of religion. He had physical life, but did not have spiritual life. You've got physical life tonight. Have you got physical life? Have you got spiritual life? Have you got eternal life? That life that God gives us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Look at the comparisons in the moments we've got of life. God gives us illustrations. Sometimes we live as though we're going to be around forever. Isn't that the case? We got to make our plans. We make them. But the writer, James, says, but make them if the Lord will.
Plan for the future. You do it if the Lord will. Because, my friend's life, as you begin to look at it, you discover a shot. It was an old sage who said to his students on one occasion, he said, you know, prepare. Prepare. Make preparation for dying the day before you die. One of his students said, we may die tomorrow. He says, well, I'll make preparation today. God is urging us to look at this. And as we turn to the Word of God, we find here the clarity of life. We begin to see how God views life. Life has been likened to a journey. It was Jacob in talking to King Pharaoh who said these words, the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days been. Life is a journey, my friend. We are going somewhere. We are either heading onward, upward towards heaven. Remember, we saw the first Sunday that Jesus said there are two ways. There's the narrow way, there's the broad way. We're either on the narrow way, heading upwards. We made our decision to go on that road towards heaven. Oh, my friend, we're heading for eternal judgment. But life is a journey. You're traveling on. You're traveling on. The Christians of old, the old seamen, they who knew Christ, who went down into the waters of the deep and began to work there and came back, they used to sing these words, traveling on the sea of life, we're homeward bound. I'm sure I don't have to tell the fishing fraternity here, neither have I on the east coast of Scotland, the excitement of turning the boat towards home, having been several weeks on the sea, on this little boat. Having spent so much time fishing, and then comes a day when the ship is turned towards the safe haven and to the harbor and to the loved ones. Traveling on the sea of life, we're homeward bound. But as we pass by and they look around, struggling wrecks and sinking souls are all around, but we do not fear the voyage, for we know that the Savior leads us as we onward go. We are homeward bound for glory. My friend, we're moving on. And we thank God that in the writer to the Hebrews, he said these wonderful words, using the nautical or military terminology. He said that Jesus is the captain of our salvation. And if it is the nautical terms, we thank God that when the storms of life is raging, tempest wild on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the hollow of His hand. He will hide me. He will hide me where no harm can ever betide me. My friend, we are the right captain in our boat, for it says, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the star. My friend, it's wonderful to have physical life. It's great to have spiritual and eternal life, where we can know that the captain of the vessel is Christ Himself. It's a journey. How are you getting on, my friend, on that journey? How are you getting on? Birth is automatic. Sometimes it's a long, long journey for some. For others, it's a short journey. We've seen this. But the time comes. Life is like a dream, says the psalmist. He says it's like a dream. Psalm 73:20, as a dream when one awakeneth. How long is a dream? Isn't it amazing when you're dreaming that alarm clock rings so quickly? Especially when it's a good dream, they're just about to hand you. Ed McMahon has just knocked on your door and he's got that $10 million to hand you. And the alarm goes and wakens you up. It was a dream. You still got to pay your mortgage next month. How long is a dream? We can sit down on our sofas or our settees and lie out and have 40 winks, and in that moment we can have a dream. My friend, there is no standard length of a dream, but the psalmist said, he said, life is like a dream when one awakeneth. Life is short, fleeting, and transient. I'm certainly sure of this, that that young man and his wife and his sister-in-law, with all the prospects that they had and the opportunities and the advancements in the society that they lived in, had no thought of eternity. But life is like a dream. When one awaketh, says the psalmist. Life is like a shadow, says the wise man in Ecclesiastes 6:12. For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life he spendeth as a shadow. It's almost gone. A shadow is such a poor imitation of the real thing. You can recognize a person by his shadow. Shadows can be so deceiving. They can be long, they can be short. My dear friends, life is like that. It's a shadow. It can be a shadow with no reality. The substance is reality. Is your life a shadow? Or is it a reality? Were we to go round every door in this village, in this town, in this island, we were to go from door to door. I am pretty sure of this, my friend, from my knowledge of human nature, that if we went round, there would be people in this hall, on this island who tonight, the life to them is a shadow. There is no reality. And that doesn't go for older folk or middle-aged folk. Isn't it amazing that one of the greatest problems in America is teenage suicide? I don't know about you, but I got depressed when I was a teenager. But I was never depressed enough to take my life. Some wish I had, but I didn't. I was never that far down, because there was always a spark. There was always a moment as a teenager where I could come alive and I could rise up to the occasion and enjoy that moment in time. Although the other moments could be miserable, I could go on in that moment. And there are people who live their lives in the shadows and miss the reality. Life, says James here, is like a vapor. Look at it. Go home. Put your kettle on. Let it boil. Watch the vapor. It rises to the ceiling. It disappears. God says, that is your life. That is your life. Oh, you may be a young person tonight and you say, I can live on. I have got so much to live for. And I when I'm older, I'll think about trusting Christ. I am so glad that irrespective of my feeling about Christ when I was 18, that the Holy Ghost convicted me and saved me, because I look back now on a life of 41 years of the reality of knowing Jesus Christ. And I challenge you. You think it gets better without Christ? No, my friends, I tell you, you begin to build and build and build. And I can take you, and I suppose this island could tell the same story, but I could take you to men on the east coast of Scotland who had large fishing boats that were worth millions. They themselves were a million. I have a friend that his brother lives in an apartment in London. Small apartment in London, who was a millionaire. But drugs controlled his life. Margaret and I sat in the house of a fisherman who sold his boat and must have got several hundred thousand pounds for it. It was quite a large one. And said, I drank it all till we had nothing. Till one morning he got up. And with a Christian background, he said, oh God, I'm going to kneel at this bed and I'm not going to move until you talk to me. And by midday, God gloriously came into his life by the power of the gospel and transformed him. I consider him a valued friend and prayer partner today. You think, my friend, that you don't want Jesus Christ to be the captain of your life? Let me tell you this, my friend. If Jesus Christ is not the captain of your life, then somebody is. And I can guarantee one thing. You're not. You're not in charge of your life. My friend, when your life is controlled by a substance, you're not in charge of it. When your life is controlled by an influence, you're not in charge of it. And my friend, this book is very clear to tell us that we either have Jesus Christ as the captain of our salvation, or we indeed have our minds blinded by the power of the devil who controls us. So if the Lord doesn't control us, then the evil one wants to control you. And I plead with you young folks tonight. What guarantee have you of any life? What guarantee have you of any few years? My friend, come out of the shadows into the reality. Give Christ your life. Like a vapor. Look at the vapor. Look at the steam of the kettle. It's there. It is gone. Psalm 90, the psalmist says in Psalm 90 in verse 9, life is like a tale, for all our days have passed away. In thy wrath we spend our years as a tale that is told. It looks back and we begin to relate it purely as a simple story. Wasn't it Shakespeare who said in his famous word, out, out, brief candle, life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets this hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot full of sound, fury, signifying nothing. In the second Samuel we read that life is like water spilt on the ground. for we must all need, Second Samuel 14:14, for we must all needs die, and are as water spilt in the ground which cannot be gathered up again. In the moment the earth absorbs the water, you can't get it back. Are you spilling your life out tonight? Life, says Job, is like a flower. The man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. First we see the blade of grass, so the blade of the new leaves, and afterwards the beautiful blood. Slowly it opens and we gasp at its beauty. Then it withers and it's gone. Gone so soon. Gone so quickly. Gone. Never to bloom again. Is that your life? Is that your life? What is your life in the closing moments of the service? Is there a purpose to it? Life is a moment in time in which to prepare for a long, long eternity. Right now you can choose eternal life. Right now you can come to God and you can say, yes, Lord, you sent your Son on the Mount of Crucifixion. Yes, Lord, I'm conscious the rivers of your grace and your truth were flowing through to love a guilty world. I'm conscious that the cross is about Jesus Christ loving me and dying for me to take me out of the realm of the shadows and bring me into the reality and the hope of knowing God's eternal purposes in my life. There are two great eternities. One we must choose. We must choose one or the other. There is no neutral ground. The blessed privilege of living forever with the Lord Jesus in heaven. The terrible anguish of living forever with Satan in a burning hell. It's our choice. Paul said these words, so more positive, for to me to live is Christ. I've heard many people say, I wish I'd never been born. I've never heard a man say, I wish I'd never been born again. It was a happy day. It was a happy day. 1st of May 1958, quarter to 11 at night. It was a happy day in my life as an 18-year-old rebel when God saved me. I'd never forgotten. Sometimes go to bed and I say to Margaret, I feel God saved me tonight. Feel God saved me. Times I'm overcome. Just when I was about to spill my life like water on the ground, God took hold of the container and held it. Just about when I was living my life in the shadows, God brought me into reality. My dear friends, can I challenge you today? Can I challenge you today? You make that right decision and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because he said, I give unto my sheep eternal life and they shall never perish. Dr. Billy Graham said, no man can be said to be truly converted to Christ who will not bend his will to Christ. He may give intellectual assent to the claims of Christ and may have an emotional or religious experience, but however, he is not truly converted until he surrendered his will to Christ as Lord and Savior and Master. My dear friends, you may look upon Christians and wonder and say, what a strange bunch, being tied up by these rules and regulations. They really aren't, my friend. They are glorious freedom. The hymn writer understood the words of what Jesus had said when he said, when the words were, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And he wrote, make me a captive, Lord. Then I shall be free. Free. Are you truly free? Are you free from sin? Are you free from the bondage that binds you? I read a story about Queen Elizabeth I of England, who was the idol of society and the leader of European fashion, when on her deathbed she turned to a lady-in-waiting and said, oh my God, it is over. I have come to the end of it. To the end. To the end. Here I die, soon. Remember, I've just got to the beginning. When we've been there 10,000 years. Bright shining as the sun, will be no less days to sing his praise than when we first began. You see, the Christian doesn't get to the end. He gets to the beginning. What about you? Will you come out of the shadows? Will you cast shadows? David, the Savior, didn't say, oh my God, is this the end? The Savior simply said, it is finished. Dismissed. What about you tonight? I want to close, but I want to challenge your heart. You've heard the gospel many times. We've been challenged. We may find this trio, but many of us here, if not all of us, are pretty well convinced that the opportunity of them finding this family now is very poor. They came from the heart of the city, the Big Apple, New York, pulsating with the life of this world. They're in eternity. They could be in eternity today. There's a large chance that they're in eternity today. As our quartet said, the only thing important in eternity is the blood of Christ. Oh, to be without a Savior. On the wild and stormy sea, oh, turn. Come on, you live with the sea. You live with the boats. Let's get nautical as we close. O turn, while the Savior in mercy is waiting. And steer for the harbor light. For how do you know? But your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. Tonight? You say, not at all, I'm healthy. So are they. But I don't have a plane. You got a boat. I've seen the folks of Spanish Wells drive. But my friends, how do you know? The soul may be drifting. Over the deadline tonight. From that Mount of Transfiguration flows the river of grace and truth with an intensity of love that can save a guilty, lost world. Will you take a step for Christ tonight? Will you get saved tonight? Let's pray. Every head bowed, Maybe you've never prayed the sinner's prayer. Maybe you've never realized. Just give us a few moments and we're closed. But I ask you, just pray quietly in your heart tonight. Lord Jesus Christ, you died on that cross for my sin. I need to be saved now. I've no guarantee if it were me in that little plane, Lord. I've no guarantee I'd be in heaven. But you've promised me a blessed assurance. I confess my sin, accept Jesus as my Savior tonight. Oh God, it's not for man's prerogative to urge or to, we can only plead for the souls of men, but oh Father, I do ask you humbly, as many have already and some in prayer before this gathering, I ask you to touch the life of every man and woman here tonight without Christ, who needs to be saved. Needs to be saved. Lord, let no one leave this place tonight without Christ as their Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just take a moment to sing a verse of that. Hymn 230, please, and then our service is over. I'd like to say something to you. You know, I love being in Spanish Wells. I love you folks. But I love being anywhere where I can preach the gospel. But you know, if you see me in the street and you need prayer, would you stop me and talk to me? We just live right here. If you're troubled about eternity, would you come and knock on the door of the apartment? We'll be thrilled to talk to you. That's why we're here. We're not here to get a tan. We're here, my friend, that you might be blessed in Christ. We want to do that. Would you talk with us? Let's take the first verse and chorus of this hymn we were quoting. Oh, sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Some of you have heard the gospel. You could preach it better than I can. You've never trusted Christ. Where would you be tonight if you had been an occupant of that little plane? 2:30 will remain standing for prayer at the end. Thank you.